KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Hey, Neil's playing hooky today.
Randy's just waking up.
Neil said, I'll be there.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Another week of On the Water, in the Air. Randy's just got to get some coffee in him. How about a Mountain Dew?
Don't want to drink or eat anything because I got to go to the dentist here at 8:30.
That's why he's so sad this morning.
I know. I'm real excited.
We're heading off to Saginaw Bay. It's been a couple years since you and I've been out there.
Been a long time since I've been out there. Nice area, though.
Hey,
what they call that? It'd be like this, the thumb.
Oh, he's got it. Yeah. Randy's calling it the thumb of Lake Huron.
Lake Huron.
Do we have anyone that would like to go there today?
I'd go.
Well,
if the fishing's always hot out
we're
there,
we're not going to be able to make it. So we thought,
let's go call Chip Lear.
Let's go call Chip Lear. See what the pulse is on Saginaw Bay. Chip, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. Good morning, Lynn. Good to hear you both.
Yes, right. Good to hear from you. Way out east, kind of the eastern edge of the walleye belt, so to speak.
Yep.
Saginaw Bay, well, are they all the way out to the Charity Islands yet this morning?
I think they're probably past Charity Islands. Okay. You know, we're on eastern time, so we're 2 hours and 15 minutes into our 2 hours, I'm sorry, 2 hours 45 minutes into our fishing day at this point. We launched early, 6 a.m. Eastern time. They're not due back till 4 o'clock. Tournament Director Anthony Wright gave everybody an extra hour in the morning, an extra hour in the evening to get through about a 40-minute no-wake zone.
It is.
Out into Saginaw Bay.
Up through that.
You're launching out of the river.
We're on the river. We're in Bay City, right downtown Bay City. Brand new, beautiful park here. It's going to be a beautiful weigh-in this afternoon, kicking off at 4 o'clock. And, of course, all that's covered live on NationalWalleyeTour.com. It's going to be a fun event.
Good
to be a fun event. Going to see low weights, Chip, big weights. They had a lot of wind yesterday, but they said today. I listened to Keith Cavias' little update on Twitter/Pro Chatter yesterday, and he was predicting a pretty decent day for running today.
Well, that was the prediction, but the outer buoy had 28 miles an hour at launch this morning out of the northwest. So it is living up to the Great Lakes. There was only 20 miles an hour at the mouth of the river. Now, it's supposed to subside as the day goes on. And one of the things coming into this event, listening and doing all the pre-event interviews and communications that we do last night and this morning, was the predictions of weight. Guys are guessing that 2 day totals anywhere from 40 to north of 60 pounds have been predicted. So I think they're all over the map, which is really interesting here. It obviously there's a big difference in the fish that the guys are running into. The one thing that is consistent amongst all anglers, if you've ever wondered, I mean, this place per acre, the number of fish is staggering. They've upped the limit to 8 walleyes per day per person.
Oh, wow.
They want you to come in here and take out fish. They don't have enough forage for all these fish. It is an unbelievable fishery right now in terms of numbers, and they're eating everything. You're catching them trolling spinners, trolling crankbaits. They're casting. They're jigging. You name it, you can catch walleyes in Saginaw Bay right now.
And they're big fish. I mean, I remember being out there shaking a 5-pounder off the side of the boat because he didn't want to net it.
Well, that, Randy, is kind of what you're not seeing. What you're seeing is we're seeing a lot of 17, 18, 19-inch fish, and even the low 20-inch fish are relatively skinny, so there's not a lot of weight there. You know, we don't have alewives like we did years ago when we came here. So the old-timers will remember a lot of fat fish that were, you know, on the inner part of the bay.
Yep.
Now that inner bay is mostly shiners and perch as a forage. The outer bay has a lot more gobies as the main forage base. So there's a little bit fatter fish the further you want to run, but the fish become a little less dense, so you're not bumping into as many fish. So, and of course, you make that run in a wind like we have today, and you're limiting your fishing time. I'll give you a little insight since we're live on the radio right now. I can tell you,
we like
so far
that
this morning, a couple of anglers have stayed in the river, and one of them has just caught, like within the last 15 minutes, an absolute tanker. Yeah. So this whole thing could go the other way, and it'll be really interesting if these guys, if the two that stayed in the river, do well, because they are veteran, savvy anglers, Tom Kimos and Corey Springle.
Yeah.
So if one of those two guys ends up doing well today, it could be really interesting to see what the field does tomorrow.
I was wondering if Parsons and Kavias were going to stay in there, too. That was going to be one of my questions. Back in 2008, there was an AIM event out there, and all the big weights came out of the river. So that baby can produce this time of the year.
Wow. I remember I first met Kavias. Gosh, it was back in when it was the In Fisherman, and that was back when they had that big storm, and those boys spent an overnight out on the water out there that day. You remember that, Chip? I'm trying to think what year that was, that the wind was so bad.
1975.
No, I'm not that old. they were coming in with broken windshields. That's when that's the year Jimmy Click broke his motor out the back of his boat.
Yes, it fell into the lake.
Yep. I'm trying to remember what year that was. I was running around Leon Houle then.
You had Leon and then his twin brother, right?
Leo.
Leo and Leon, yeah. There you go.
But that was quite a long time ago. Boy, that's back then. They were amazing, the size of the fish then. They were very large.
And this is a lesson in fishing, with being out here right now, because I think that all that historical information, as wonderful as it is and as fun and fond memories as we have, the fact that the alewives aren't as predominant as they once were, that change in forage has changed this fishery. So I think part of coming in here with a clean slate and a clean brain, not thinking about that stuff, probably helps. And you're not having any memories to say, geez, I wonder what they're doing over here, you know, or I wonder what they're doing over there. Like the Charity Islands, everybody, it used to be such a big run to get to the Charities.
Oh, gosh, yes.
That was 12 years ago. Boats are better. Engines are better. Everything's bigger. Takes better bigger water, better.
Yeah,
that's so, back when you put a bunch of
making a 60-mile run doable.
That was back when you used to put a bunch of about 6 or 7 5-gallon tanks of gas in your boat, and you strapped them in the back, and then you got out there, then you had to refill just so you can get home.
Yeah, you don't do that anymore either. They are allowed to stop and refuel at the National Walleye Tour, so yeah. As long as they stop at an official
marina, there won't be much of that with 25 mile an hour
winds
today.
I'm putting some age across me right now.
Hey, not only age, but when I think of Charity Islands and I think of rocks, that's where the gobies like to hide. So I'm kind of anxious to hear, probably not till tomorrow, how they get after those fish, those gobies, if that wind goes down. A little tougher to...
I think we'll learn a lot at the weigh-in this afternoon. I think we'll get an idea. You know, you can usually tell by the color of their fish when you're looking at the pictures. And we take photos, you know, of every single group of fish gets a photo. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But you can tell a little bit of color. The inside ones are a little whiter, and the fish from out deeper in that clear water out towards Lake Huron tend to be a little bit darker, golder fish.
Uh-huh. Well, we already have a little something to look at to see what Kimos and Springle end up doing. Of course, knowing those two crazies, they'll wait for the wind to come down. They'll go out with a big bag of fish from this morning and just go out and hunt around this afternoon for something else. You never know. Be kind of crazy, you know.
Extended fishing time is will change people's strategies. And,
yeah.
And the one thing about tournament fishing, you know, not only do you have to find the fish, but you got to make the right strategy to catch those fish. And it messes with your head, and it's a game that not everybody can play, but it certainly makes for great drama on the stage and for the television program.
Yeah, and we'll pick up some new ideas again after this one. I'm sure we will. Chip, thank you so much. Anything quick before we take off, other than let's announce the times and where they can watch it.
Yeah, tune in. We're on Facebook, obviously, National Walleye Tour, or get to nationalwalleyetour.com. We will go live 4 o'clock Eastern time for the weigh-in here the next couple of days. And before it's all over, I think we got about $400,000 to give away, and somebody's walking away with a Ranger boat.
So perfect.
Gosh.
Perfect. We're gonna listen to the fishing report out of Saginaw. Their next stop is Devil's Lake, so it'll be interesting to see who comes with a point lead after the first two events.
Yep.
Devil's Lake, July 29th. Sound right, Chip?
Yeah, it's whatever that third or last week of July.
That'd be the 29th.
Yeah, and we're actually going to be talking about the Devil's Lake Tournament with Scott Larson coming up here next. So thank you, Chip.
Enjoy the rest
of your weekend.
Have a great day, guys.
Yep, thank you, Chip.
All right. And, yeah, Scott Larson's coming up. We'll give Randy just a few seconds. Randy Grimes, is our board guy.
Randy.
The engineer.
Why? You know, that's amazing that those fish out there are like they said. I remember.
June, though, I was wondering how many guys stayed in the river. Only two?
Wow.
I would almost think Parsons and Cavias, they know that river very well.
They live in
it. It'll be interesting to see if they either come back. They get out there and see that much weather.
They'll change everything tomorrow. You know, that's the one thing about out there.
But tomorrow, the wind's probably going to go down.
Yeah.
And the lake will be on fire.
Exactly. Yeah. I tell you what, being out on that lake when it's windy is tough.
You know, talking about being on fire, and we've got Scott Larson real close here, but Lake Oahe is on fire right now.
I heard that.
Very, very nice, healthy fish coming out of all the way from the Stove Creek, which is south of the Whitlocks, all the way up to Pollock and into the North Dakota area. So if you don't have that on your agenda for June, first part of July, might want to change your schedule.
They're hitting on bazooka, bubblegum, and a baby diaper pin.
And they're up in shallow water. They're hungry, and they're fat, and
they're still hungry.
Only fish in the country that I know that can be so full of fat
and
food.
And still be hungry.
And still be eating, yeah.
I know.
Than Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
There are some big fish up there, too, when you talk super tankers like Chip was talking earlier. Devil's Lake, South Dakota.
Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Well, we've
got a Devil's Lake here probably somewhere.
But at Devil's Lake, North Dakota, they've got a great fishery up there.
And we have Scott Larson. We just very, very much enjoy the quick conversations we've had over the years on the water, in the air with Scott Larson. Are you with us, Mr. Scott?
I am. How are you today, Lynn?
Yeah, we're fine and dandy. You got the kids dropped off at their events this morning?
The kids are dropped off at the Bison football camp. Go Bison.
Oh my word. Yes, we've got a lot of Bison fans down in this part of the country. I don't know why. Maybe a couple of national championships.
Possibly. Every year, it seems like.
Where's my jackrabbit hat at? It's out in the truck. I need to have that on days of these types of conversations. But Bison football camp for Larson's.
That's cool.
Yes. And sure fun to play dad on these days, too, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It can't beat that. Yeah, you mix this in with my birthday today. And, I can do a little fishing later on this afternoon. Life, it can't get much better.
Plus,
he gets to talk to us. I mean, how much better does it got to be when we're going to talk a little fishing and how Devil's Lake is out there.
And a little background on Scott Larson. A couple weeks ago we talked, and we just talked about, he's not traveling the National Walleye Tour events, which way out in Saginaw Bay, it kind of feels good to be here in North Dakota and South Dakota right now, even though that's a cool event to go to. Getting back to our core and our family and being able to fish lakes like Devil's Lake, I've been fortunate to be there twice this year. Scott's probably, I know, been there at least twice. We get to, just kind of relax and not run around the country. But also some of the things that we get to talk more about is lakes that are our favorites, like Devil's Lake. And Scott, we're fortunate to know you and kind of, go, hey, there's been some fun tournaments going on. Devil's Lake's had some really good fishing. But one thing is, we lost 3 more feet of lake level. How do you adjust?
Who would have ever thought that, 8 years ago having this conversation, say, well, we're going to be, the water level's going to be dropping. And it is. And there's a lot of concerned folks, and whether it's just weekend anglers, guides, tournament fishermen. It's getting to be a concern, but it can go both ways. It's a benefit back to the farmers. They're getting some of their land access back. It's not only the land that was under the water, but I was talking to a farmer. He can access some of his land that he lost that wasn't underwater. So it's a tough thing right now up there. What the right answer is, and they're going to keep the pumps on. So it I don't know what the true answer is. You know, obviously I love fishing Devil's Lake as many of us do. And, but it comes with its, you know, it's just the way Mother Nature is throwing us a, you know, a better cart for the farmers, but for the fishermen, it's not so much.
Well, the first thing I did when I jumped into Larry's boat this last weekend was get onto his two hummingbird units and kind of get them, you know, so that they both kind of rhymed with each other when you jump from the front to the back and talk about the lake level settings. I think we're down 5 feet
total.
Yeah, and that's the huge thing on hummingbirds, the depth highlight, that the feature that they have on that. And what that is you can set your depth to any different color. I set mine to red. It just sticks out that much easier. Set it to right around that 4 to 5 feet. Mm-hmm. And that gives you an idea, and then you can do the water offset also for what the lake has dropped, and gives you an idea because there's a lot of shallow little islands, rock piles. Roads are the big thing up there that gets a lot of people in trouble. And that just gives you an idea of where not to go. It's especially for first timers up there, it's a great tool to have. So because, you know, you're nervous, you know, driving around all that. You know, you hear all these horror stories, and some of them come true. But that the depth highlight is a huge thing, and people really need to look into it. Take that extra 5-10 minutes before you launch your boat and set it, and it's gonna save your day and have a great day of fishing instead of having to go to the marine dealer with a broken lower unit.
What are some of the other things that you have for equipment that have been beneficial in breaking down this water and utilizing, you know, things to catch more fish? I mean, we're talking here again to Scott Larson. He's been around that Devil's Lake area for a lot of years. He was a slip bobber king in his day, but I'm not sure there's as much of that going on. There's still some.
There's still some of that, but right now for the last month, month and a half, it's been the casting, the crankbaits, and plastics. The Northland Slurpee jigs have been awesome for us, and we've been doing a lot of that. In that 2 to 4 feet of water has been the key where those fish have been. It sounds crazy that those fish will be in that kind of depth. But this past weekend at a casino tournament, which you were into, Lynn, on Saturday, as you know, there wasn't a breath of wind out there, and it's just like, how are we gonna catch these fish up shallow without wind? And Devil's Lake, you almost always need wind. And it wasn't the easiest day to catch fish, but you know, there were a lot of nice fish brought in. And the approach that we took, we cast the crankbaits in the morning, and I'm like, I need to change the plastics. And what I did is I like the shad style Slurpee. It's called a Slim Shad, and it's a paddle tail. And what that does, it's just creating more of a vibration for those fish. And the more lethargic they were down there, you could see the fish. Actually, the water was clear enough, and that was enough to trigger us to, you know, have a decent day, go from, you know, not having many fish in the boat, and that all of a sudden was the trigger. And also the jig head on there, it's called the Slurp Jig Head. And what I really like about that, it's a longer shank for plastics, and it's got the double bait holder on it. What that is two little hooks right up by the head, and it holds that plastic on there because there's several pike in Devil's Lake you're going to go through. And that holds that plastic on there that much longer, so you can you don't have to be replacing that every couple, three fish. And it's just, and the hook is very durable, and it's just all around a good swim jig bait. It's performed well for us, and it was our saving grace this past weekend.
Yeah, was it really on day one? See, our challenge has been, we've kind of figured out the calm days, and now we've struggled when it gets windy up there, and it should be the opposite way. Someday we'll get that figured out. But
it's crazy. I know. It was. I thought Sunday was going to be, you know, lights out, and we struggled on Sunday. It was, you know, I thought with the wind we'd get better. We switched up the cranks and plastics, and we scratched out enough fish, but it was not easy. But
And that's fishing.
I have to admit, too, that I've kind of been a junkie on these Northland. They don't call them a Slurpee, but I've probably now I'm up to about 25 packages of the paddle tail. The Northland, they come about 5 in a package. It's slipping my mind what the name of those are. Everybody
Impulse.
Else listening knows what they are, but
Impulse.
Impulse. That's exactly.
Yeah, awesome.
That's exactly
yeah.
right. And I'm like, I've got the whites for calm days. I've got the chartreuse fire tiger for, you know, the. I just love that baby
yes.
up there. And you can cast it on a heavy jig because, let me tell you,
yep.
if you're going to be on Devil's Lake for 3, 4, 5 days, go up there for a weekend, you're going to have some wind. And being able to cast those babies in wind is a heck of a lot easier than a number 5 shad wrap.
Yeah, and they've just got great action. They roll side to side if you watch them in the water, plus that paddle tail. And just it's given those fish something different to look at. And I just, you know, truly believe fish, after a while, they see the same things, and all of a sudden you put a different color, a different action on, and you can pick one or two of those fish out of there, fool them that way. And another thing that's huge with my Minn Kota trolling motors, the Alteras, the Tirovas, Ultrix, is their spot lock now. I mean, that is hands down a huge deal when it comes to casting crankbaits or plastics. It, we'd get in an area in an amp pocket, we'd spot lock it, and we'd work that area. We'd just fire into that area several times instead of making a fast pass through when it's windy and everything. And they've improved it the last, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, they went to 2 GPSs, one external that's on your boat, and then one internal, which is still in the head of the unit itself. And it's amazing how that will keep you there. And there's no surging. It'll just keep you steady in there. On Sunday, we had to have 25 gusts of 30-mile-an-hour winds. And we put that on there, and it would just face the boat right into the waves, and we'd cast away. And my batteries and everything, it lasted all day. And then netting fish, too. I mean, you get a fish on, hit that anchor button. So, you know, because otherwise you risk the chance of blowing into the rocks and whatnot.
Yep. Or running your boat right over the top of the fish that you're just trying to net,
yeah.
and all of a sudden it's underneath the boat. I've used
exactly.
that spot lock tons for this situation right here.
Yep, it's a game changer. I mean, if people haven't used it, and if you have it,
Are you using the Ultrix, the cable drive, or are you using the what is it, Altera?
Altera, okay. yep.
I looked at the Ultrix after this tournament because my friend Larry is a cable drive guru.
Yep.
I mean, he cannot get off of that. I mean, with the Bass guys, that's where they've gone is that Ultrix. And now they've got
a little quicker response,
on that,
too, though.
But they've got spot lock on that thing, and they've got a remote control on that thing, too, nowadays.
Responds that quick.
Unbelievable where this thing has
come.
So,
sweet unit.
You know, Chip talked about all the equipment for these guys that were fishing out at Saginaw. Well, the same thing here. I mean, this equipment has evolved, and it's making things a little bit easier on a day when there's 30-mile-an-hour winds. Not
right.
Still wasn't easy.
I'm starting to feel sorry for the fish out there. We're getting so much technology. It's just, if you know how to run it, it's a pretty sweet deal, but you got to take the time to run it. There's so many, you know, like anything, you just, take that extra minute, and, all the tools are there to you.
Yeah.
So it's
just
to do it.
Well, thanks a lot from Scott Larson, Fargo, North Dakota. I do, in my mind, and I know a lot of people, and I've talked to a lot of guides and a lot of people that know Devil's Lake well. This guy is very well respected up there. I hope you have a chance to fish that National Walleye Tour event up there, Scott. But thank you a ton for being with us today.
Appreciate it, Lynn. You guys have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Take care. Another week of On the Water, In the Air. Win a couple minutes.
Oh, overtime.
But we had some really good information.
Free
and
radio.
Guests today. I know. For someone.
I know.
Huh? All right. Over to you, Randy Grimes.